We've been asked to separate our spiritual beliefs from our work or even public lives. For those on a spiritual journey, it becomes increasingly challenging as we seek a deeper meaning. Together, we'll have the tough conversations that help us uncover our truth.
How you guys doing? I'm Tony Arce. Welcome to the Modern Spirituality Podcast. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Janelle Sisk. Janelle, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What an honor, a blessing it's been getting to know you. What a crazy story, you know, that we find ourselves in still, right? The journey of it. But before we jump into all that, why don't we start just by where you're from, where'd you grow up? You know, who's Janelle?
Okay. My name is Janelle Sisk. I'm originally from Palos, and now I live in Mokena. I'm recently a widow. I lost my husband in November. I am a mom to 7 children, 5 stepchildren and 2 of my own, and a Gigi to soon to be 12 grandchildren.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. 12.
Yes.
That is a busy holiday household.
Yes,
right?
It is. The best.
No,
the best.
I can only imagine.
Yes.
So having grown up here, you know, obviously modern spirituality, you're a woman who really has dived into her faith, right? And has been a big part of your life for a while. What was your, I guess, relationship with God growing up? How was it different than it is today?
Well, I went all through private school, Catholic school, born and raised. You know, church going every Sunday with my family. Always was a huge believer in Jesus and Christ and God and all that is good in this world. And then I found myself recently, obviously, with the loss of Larry in November, questioning a lot of things, questioning my faith, questioning the whys of why all this was happening to us. I know that he had gone through many times where he was questioning why him, if that makes sense.
Of course.
So it's been a battle. It's been a battle, but I have always found myself coming back to my faith and my belief in God and that there's something bigger than this.
And when you say like him going through it as well, it was that, he knew he was sick, right?
Yes.
So it wasn't an accident.
It was not an accident. Larry was sick for a little over 2 years. It was a roller coaster of medical and then miracles and then ups and downs and good news and bad news and just trying to figure it all out and just trying to, in the process of the sickness, still being able to live a life. Hmm. And probably the most amazing human being that I've ever come in contact with. I mean, his strength through it all, his bravery through it all. I don't think I can fully explain what was witnessed along this terrible road. It was just a terrible road for him.
And going through something like that, right, and for you being on the outside, in a sense helpless, right, that we understand our futility at that point, right, when you're going through something like that, what did you find yourself doing or how did you cope with it? How did you find peace through it all? Because to get to this point where you're at is no coincidence, right? I think you've put in a lot of work prior to this. It seems like when people think about, you know, working out and being strong, but there's that spiritual muscle too that needs to be tested and strengthened. And for you, it just seems like, wow, I can't believe it was 7 months ago, right?
I know.
But how did you get through those difficult times? How did you deal with it all?
I really give it all to God. I really do. I give it to the grace of God. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I didn't question things along the way, because I did. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he didn't, because he did. But I always found myself coming back to prayer and even sometimes just begging, like this intense begging, like, please just help him. Please get him out of this pain. Please cure him. Please heal him. Give me a miracle. I mean, there were nights that I was begging on my knees to him. And Larry didn't know this then, but I had told him later there were nights where I would literally just take my hands and just pray over him and just ask God to get him out of this pain, even if it was for a small period of time, because there were times when the pain was so intense where Larry would actually look at me and say, just give me 2 minutes, just 2 minutes of not feeling anything, and how heartbreaking that was. So my prayer was always, just get him out of this pain. Please get him out of this pain. And to tell you about Larry is, Larry was just a big, strong man. And when you see somebody who is failing and deteriorating because of a terrible disease, it's not who you knew.
Yeah.
And then there were times where my mind would go in other places, like Larry always came out ahead. Larry always won the battle. And then when I would see there were times that he just couldn't win the battle is when I turned to God. I said, I didn't know where else to turn.
Yeah. For those people that you hear it often, the argument, and we were just talking about this, how, you know, so many people who can be atheists or whatever their beliefs are or how they see things, but they'll say, you know, how can you believe in God when this is the type of, like, who, what kind of God would do something like this, right? Uh-huh. And it's so easy to get caught up in our own pain that we think that we know best, right? What do you say to those types of people? Or to not say those types of people, but I think that's all of us, right?
Right.
I think we all question that. But what do you say to those individuals who have those types of thoughts when it comes to believing or not believing in God?
You know, I've been down both roads. So only speaking from my personal experience, it was okay to question because God is a forgiving God. So I felt like it was okay to question him. I always had faith and hope that he would bring us out of this. And even along those 2 years, there were many miracles that I looked back on now that he did for us. I believe he did that for us. Even the people that would come in and out of our lives, like the nurses and the doctors, and then just people that I would meet along the way, people that I met online, information that I was getting. I just always had people giving me that extra little faith and hope for him. And then just times when I can admit, a lot of questions. I can admit that. And I just always went back to saying, okay, even if I'm mad at you today, even if I'm mad at God today, I know that he's forgiving me for that because he's an all-forgiving God. And that's how I kind of lived my life. And I shared this story with you, but there was a time when Larry was really struggling, like bad, and he always wore a cross around his neck. And he took the cross off, and he said, I don't understand why he's doing this to me. And I had said, okay, you can have this moment, but now we're going to come back. We're going to come back to this because we need him. We need that. And he did. And he eventually, you know, got his anger out and then came back to the moment of accepting. I think it was accepting his fate too at some point. I think he knew more than what he was portraying to us, because he was a very protective man and he was protective of our pain and our feelings over his own, which was extraordinary.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. Because I don't know how, I don't think you can get to that place without God.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Absolutely.
It was always about us. He was the most selfless man I've ever come in contact with. It was about, I want to shelter my wife and my children and my grandchildren from the pain that I'm going through. It was something unbelievable to see.
And beautiful, right?
Beautiful. I mean, beautiful.
Yeah, you know, and I think it speaks to his character. And obviously there's a deep love between you both, and to see that. And there's so many things that you wouldn't know unless you go through something like that, right?
Right.
It's easy to think about, oh, I would be like that, or the person I know would be like that. But until you go through it and you really see it, and you're like, that is an example of the person that I knew, right?
Right.
What for you, as you look kind of through this, because you still have a great spirit about you. Thank I mean, that hasn't, I'm sure, changed. And that's, you know. Well, I mean, you're like, you're going through something.
Right.
So it's still fresh.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
But you can still see that that's there, right?
Yes.
And it comes through. So kind of looking at it from a positive perspective, what are those lessons learned that wouldn't have happened had it not been for this experience?
Well, you definitely learn to lean on your faith, for sure. You definitely learn that nothing is guaranteed. None of us are getting out of here alive. We're all going to end up there someday. And it's how we live our life to make sure we get there, to heaven. That's how I feel. That's how I live. That's how I feel. I forgot some of the question. I was like on a tangent. But
no, that's great too. But I think you answered it, and really, it's what lessons, looking through it, you know, and from a positive, I guess, perspective, that you would never have learned having not gone through this tragedy.
Well, I learned that this was for sure a once in a lifetime love. I've never in my life felt the love from this a man from my husband than ever in my life. I've gone through other tragic things in my life as well. I had lost my dad when I was 30. I lost my dad 5 weeks after my wedding.
Wow.
You know, we lost Larry 4 days before our daughter's wedding, which was, I don't even know how we did it as a family, but we did. And again, I have to give that to the grace of God, because I remember going to the cemetery prior to the wedding. And I said to him, you've got to give me the strength to get through this. And then I leaned on God and said, you've got to give me the strength to get through this.
Right.
And I had told my daughter, I said, I'm going to try my best to be here for you. But I need you to understand that I may have to take myself out of my body to be able to get through this for you, because you deserve to have this day. And people were asking me, like, are you going to cancel? Are you going to reschedule? I said, no. I said, not only because she deserves that, but because I know that's something he would have never wanted me to do. And the beautiful things that she thought of doing for him, to honor him at her wedding, was she customized a drink. And his favorite drink was a margarita, and she called it the Big Lair. And then it was a signature drink, they called it. And then we did his chair next to mine with his suit coat, his tie, and the boutonniere that she had for him. And then she had a sign made up for him, too, about what an amazing dad he was. And I had to go into the role of walking her down the aisle, which was very, very difficult. I had to go through doing the speech and the first dance, which all was very, very difficult. And it was a wedding of mix of emotions. You were happy, you were sad, you were happy, you were sad. But again, I have to go back to getting through that because of the grace of God. I really do. That's all I can give it to. I can't give it to anybody else, because people have said to me, how did you do this? I just did it. I don't know. I can't answer why, but I just did it, and I have to go back to that.
And yeah, I guess, you know, on that, it seems like a tough thing to do, and anyone can put themselves in that situation and say, I probably wouldn't get out of bed, right?
There's been days I have not gotten out of bed. There's been days I've been in my pajamas for 3 days.
Yeah.
But Larry was the type of guy that in intimate conversations we had that I would love to share is, when he knew he was so sick, he would say to me, one of his famous sayings he ever said was, life is for the living. And he wanted me to live. He wanted me to go on. And I would always say back to him, life is for the living, but how do I live without you?
Right.
Like, how do I do that?
And we talked about that too, and how when someone passes, especially that you're so close with, because I mean, let's be clear. You're sitting here before us, but it's not as if you guys weren't as close as two people can be. I mean, you were, right?
Yes.
And so that's also part of your identity at that point, right? And you lose that. You lose your identity. How has that been as far as that journey of identity, just right. that word alone. Like, what does that mean?
It's scary. Yeah. And it's still, I think it's going to continue to be scary. You're left here with this new norm. I mean, you're so used to that is your person. And when I say, I am not exaggerating this at all, we were inseparable. We did every single thing together. Mm-hmm. So when you have a loss like that, and you're all of a sudden, I'm not saying I'm alone, because I have a big, beautiful, wonderful, supportive, loving family, and I'm very blessed that I have that. But he was the one. Mm-hmm. You know, we did it all together. So my new norm is frightening at times. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm searching now for a new identity, because I have to have a new identity now that he's no longer here. He will always be with me. He will always be a part of me. Like I said, when he died, half of me died with him. And it was the worst thing I've ever experienced in my whole entire life, because when you have a closeness and a love like we had, that in my opinion, because it was my story, doesn't exist for anybody else,
right?
You know?
No, right.
It was just, I don't even know if I could really put it into words, but I had told you earlier, Larry had said, if God was to have you draw the perfect person for you, how would you draw that person? And Larry looked at me and he said, it would be you. And I looked at him and said, if God had asked me that question, mm-hmm. it would be you. We were just one. We just were. We had such a beautiful love story and such a beautiful love between us. We both loved hard. And he was, when somebody says, he was my world, my whole entire world. And then when you lose that, and you lose that identity that you're talking about,
yeah.
I feel like I'm searching, like I'm constantly searching. And like I shared with you a little bit ago too, from November until about a month ago, it was a roller coaster of, like we talked about, getting out of bed, getting out of your pajamas, trying to find a direction. And in the last month, there's been people put in my path. And I don't question that, because I almost think it's like God in a way is helping me find my identity and find my path. I would have never met you.
Right.
I would have never known you. You're a beautiful person and a beautiful soul. And I just feel that. And I would have never known you. And then there's other people that have come in my life in the last month. I would have never known them. So are they put there to help me get to the next level? Are they put there for my lifetime long friends now, which would be a beautiful thing? I believe that all to be true. I believe that this is the next step of my journey. And then what am I doing with my grief? What I'm doing with my grief is I'm hoping that I give people hope that there is some sunlight on the other side, that there is life on the other side. And as hard as that is going to be for me, and it still is very, very difficult for me, I'm going to carry that with me forever. I'm going to carry him with me forever. I owe that to him. That's how I feel. I owe that to him. He deserves to be known by the world, in my opinion. He was just that good.
I want to read something, because you started to write a little bit.
I did. Yeah. This is the first time. I'm sorry. This is the first time that there's only a select few people that know this. And again, never in a million years would I have thought that this would have happened. I think maybe 5 people know about it.
Mm-hmm.
One day I just sat down and I started writing. And I decided, I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. I just thought, I'm going to write down my thoughts, my feelings, what I'm going through. And I decided I'm going to write a book. And I would have never in my life thought that I would have done that ever. And it's a book about love, loss, hope, faith, our journey, our love story, our children, our grandchildren, it just encompasses everything that he was. And then it also touches on all the pain that he endured in those 2 years. So I think it's an important story to tell. And I think it's important so that it gives people the hope that they need if they're ever stuck on a journey like this. Because what's the one thing we all relate to? Pain, loss, grief. Everybody. We've all had that in our life impacted somehow.
Yep.
So we all relate to it.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's going to be a bestseller, but it's something that I want to give to him to keep his memory alive and let people know just how amazing he was.
Yeah. Do you mind if I read?
You can read it.
Okay. I'll read. This is just the first few sentences, but I think it really says a lot. It just encapsulates that. But I'll read it. For people of faith, one of the hardest things to cope with in the midst of tragedy is the relationship with God. For some, believing in life after death helps them to diminish some of the pain. For others, they question all the whys. We are torn between our long-term faith and having spiritual confusion. We often get very angry with God and trying to figure out why all this is happening to our loved one and all of us left here to face so much pain, loss, heartbreak, and the reality of the finality of death. I hope someday we'll all make sense as to why God needed him at this time and he had to leave us all. I know my faith has been tested since his death, but I always come back to my faith with so much hope. I know in my heart that I am confident we will be all reunited again and that it is going to be an indescribable feeling. I just want to wrap my arms around Larry and never let go. My faith tells me that will happen. And I think what's most beautiful about it is the not having answers, right? And these are all wonderings and they're questions, but it's a question that you're asking God. And it's being in relationship with God that I find most beautiful in all this because, which one of us here really has any answers? Right? None of us. That's why it's faith, right? Talk to me just about that, how that's evolved where you still probably have the same exact questions, yet, probably fewer answers now, more questions than answers, it's right?
Very true statement.
And true. And just continuing to go on.
I think a lot of it is Larry for what he left me here with, because he was such a strong man. And I think I keep hearing his voice just trying to keep pushing me through. Just keep pushing me through. Get to the next level. Some days, if you can walk an inch, you've succeeded. Some days you can walk a mile, you've succeeded.
Yeah.
You never know what your day is going to be. And I think our children have given me so much strength. I have great relationships with them. My grandchildren, we have a little, my little grandson, Henry, who our bond is amazing. And he keeps me going. All the grandkids keep me going. I think a big part of it is just God. I really do. I mean, yeah, I have a lot of questions, and I am so hopeful that I'll get those answers someday. I don't understand any of this. I don't understand why he was taken from us. I don't get that.
Yeah.
He was only 64 years old.
Wow.
He battled and battled and battled. And I know that I've said to the kids over the course of this time, I said, I bet you because he was so selfless that nobody really understood how much pain he was really in. He always camouflaged it. And when I saw him at his worst moments, and it was only really for my eyes to see, and then sometimes the kids would pop over and he would just put a brave face on because he never wanted them to see him like this. He never wanted them to experience the pain or know that he was in pain.
Yeah.
What a beautiful soul.
Of course.
God, what a beautiful soul. And I got to love that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's also a part of you now to see that sets the bar for you, right?
Oh my God.
Now you have an example.
Oh my God.
And on that, I got to ask, what for those who are listening, who are going through that difficult time where it's, been a day, it's been a few days, a week, right? In that moment where it just stings the absolute worst, what do you tell those individuals from this side of the journey?
Don't give up. just don't give up. Even when you don't want to get out of bed, try your hardest. Even when you're crying, you know, allow yourself to feel though. Like I allow myself, I'm telling you the truth, I cry every single day, every day. Maybe it's a minute a day, maybe it's all day. It just comes, grief is such a, it's always waiting. I always feel like it's always waiting to creep up on you. So you never know sometimes when it's going to hit you. So allow yourself to feel, allow yourself to grieve because you need that time. I think I'll grieve my whole entire life for him. There's never going to be a time that I'm not going to grieve for him. I just know that. Maybe in time it gets a little easier, I'm hoping. But I just feel like if you feel it, feel it. And if you need to do those things, do those things. But know that there is hope on the other side. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And I think that's the reason why God is putting these people in my world right now, because there's people that are saying things to me and trying to push me in directions. Like, again, I would have never done anything like this, yeah, ever. I would have never tried to write a book. I would have never done, I just would have probably closed up and closed in and just sat in my room and cried all day. And I give a lot of credit to my kids. And if you're lucky to have that and have that support, lean on it. I lean on that. I mean, right now in my house, it's me and my 17-year-old son. So I am trying to do the best I can as a mom, and raising a son without a dad, and you think about that, and that can drive you crazy. Like, it could drive you crazy.
Right.
Am I doing things right? I always look up and say, God, I hope I'm making you proud. Because I'm not perfect. I'm trying my best. But my son gives me a lot of strength. My son is a very faithful kid. He really is. I mean, he knows the Bible inside and out. He'll read me things out of the Bible. He'll try to, you know, I will tell you a story about him, because I was worried that he wasn't showing a lot of emotion. And I didn't know how I was going to address that with him because, you know, you got to remember, he's a 17-year-old boy. You know, 17-year-old boys are 17-year-old boys, right?
Right.
And so I sat down with him one day and I said, Michael, I need to ask you why you're not showing emotion. This is your dad. Like, this is your dad. And he said, Mom, I don't grieve. You know, not everybody grieves the same way, which is true. He goes, I don't grieve the way you do, Mom. He goes, I don't sit here and think that there's not times that I'm up in my room crying, because I am. And I do that alone. And that's fine, because I want to know that at least he's feeling something, right? So he said, I don't look at death the same way you do. He goes, you can go to the cemetery and cry. You can sit in your room and cry. And that's okay, Mom, because that's how you're dealing with it. He goes, but I look at it this way. When I go to the cemetery with you, my dad's not there. Yes, his body is there, but he's spiritually not there, Mom. So that's why I know that he's, you know, that's how I feel. That's how I'm expressing myself. And I said, okay. And now my son is a wrestler. And when we would when the first tournaments he would go to and he would win, I would always just cry. I'd cry, 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 because what is my first thought? God, I wish his dad was here to see this, right? Yeah. And so I said to him, how do you feel knowing that your dad's not here when you're winning and doing so well and you're succeeding? And he said, but he is here, Mom. He said, he is here. He's watching me. I feel him. I know he's here. He's spiritually here with me. And I just... to me, that was just so profound coming from a 17-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And now I was able to understand how he was dealing with his grief. Because like I said, I was worried. I was worried that he was, I didn't want him to wake up one day and just be smacked in the face with grief.
Yeah.
Because just because I have to cry every day or I have to do things every day, that doesn't mean he does. You know what I mean?
For
so
sure.
That was profound for me.
And, you know, I think that's beautiful, and to see that and to have that kind of faith, right? So young.
So young.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yes.
How, and we'll end it with this question here, because I think it's enough of a big question, but that for those individuals who struggle with that relationship with God because of something like this, right? That something like this could knock them off that, you know, just that balance, that being in relationship with God. That, how do you encourage those individuals, or what do you say to those individuals who are struggling in that relationship with God?
I would just say you have to keep the faith. You just do. What else do we have? You know what I mean? If we don't have faith, what do we have?
Yeah.
So I'm just, again, all my personal thoughts and feelings, pray a lot. I pray a lot. I pray a lot for strength. I pray a lot to get out of bed. I pray a lot. I pray for my kids. I think if you, again, for me, you know, sitting in church sometimes, you just, there's just a grace you feel. And I just, in my heart of hearts, I believe in God, I believe in heaven, and I believe my husband's there. And that keeps me going. And it keeps me to go on a better path of just being a good person. And that's, I just have to say faith. You just have to have the faith. I know it's hard sometimes because I can admit I've lost it at times, but I always went back. I always went back because that's what gave me my strength to go back. So I guess that's pretty much, you know, I just go back to my faith all the time.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I love that. Yes. And I love you.
I love you too.
So thankful. I mean, I know that it's an ongoing journey, right? That this will change and evolve as you just continue down the path. But so blessed and so honored to know you and to get to share in that part of the journey with you, right? And we're here for you, and just so thankful that you're a part of this community and for the benefits that so many will experience because of knowing you and knowing your story, and also just that wisdom that you bring. So thank you for being you for continuing on despite the difficulties.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for allowing me to express my voice. And hopefully this will give people hope.
I think it will. I know it will.
I hope so.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you.